It's the Golf Business and Law segment, sponsored by the law firm of McDonald Hopkins here in West Palm Beach. And I am a lawyer, so I'm a lawyer spokesperson for the law firm of McDonald Hopkins. I don't know if I'm going to get in trouble with the bar for that, but Russ always has to read that language that he's not a lawyer. I told him to go get his law degree so he doesn't have to read that anymore. But nonetheless, joining us as always is the sports professor, Ricaro, who is the visiting expert on sports law at Harvard. You can see him each week on both ESPN and CNN. You can also find Rick's weekly blog and podcast at msn.foxsports.com. And, of course, you can listen to him each week in this very time slot right here with us. Good morning, Rick.
If we wait for Russ to get a law degree, we may have mutated into some animal that doesn't talk anymore.
Correct.
So, right?
You're correct. He told me he is not pursuing said degree. So,
well, that's exactly right. Hey, Peter, how you doing?
Good. How you been, Rick?
All right, here's my question. I know, Rooney, you got some golf questions first, but let me ask you this. If the Dolphins...
All right, there you go. Sorry about that.
You sound like me, Rick.
Yeah, it's been. I just got back from like 3 weeks of traveling in the Northeast, which means everywhere, like, you know, north of Vero is snowing, you know, up through like the Arctic Circle. So if the Dolphins lose today, the game's almost irrelevant. If they win against the Jets, let's assume the Patriots lose to the Cardinals
well,
today.
That ain't happening, but go ahead.
All right. Well, let's assume they lose to Buffalo next week.
No,
okay?
They have a better chance of that happening, but.
Yeah,
okay.
So they're all tied in. In division, the Jets and the Dolphins are. They're tied in conference, and they're both one game ahead of division and conference with the Patriots. What's next? You know, my question is, this is a critical issue. It is for people. I called some high-level people at the Dolphins, let me just put it that way, and they don't know. One guy even, who is, you know, very important with the team, let's say, who is in Kansas City right now, and said, well, you know, it depends. Well, I'm asking the specific question. And
well,
so,
I think what they said, because this question came up with Tennessee and Indianapolis, because if Tennessee wins out and Indianapolis wins out, they have the same record.
Right.
They have the same division record.
Right.
And they were head-to-head against each other 1-1. So the tiebreaker used to be in the division. It used to be against the rest of the AFC. So you'd go conference record.
Right.
But what's happened because, you know, they've tried to balance the schedule by having the top teams play mm-hmm. the other top teams, that they've gone to record against common opponents, which I think is just the NFC record. And that's where Tennessee has a better record against the NFC opponents than Indianapolis does. That doesn't apply to wild card stuff. It only applies in your division. So in the AFC East, I'm guessing, because they've already said the Dolphins control their destiny, so if they won out, do the Dolphins have a better record against the NFC, who I don't even remember, the NFC West, than the Jets or the Patriots? That's the only thing I can come
up
with.
No, if they win out, it's clear, because the Dolphins will have a better record against the Patriots division-wise,
okay.
too. But right. But the question is common opponents before conference record?
It's only in the division, and they changed that because they asked Bill Polian this, and he said he didn't remember voting on that in the competition committee stuff in the spring or whenever they voted this in. But they said that the records, going with the conference records in the division is not fair because the some teams have to play tougher teams in the conference because of the way that the schedule works, and the fairest way to do it would be just to go against common opponents. And I think they whittled that down to specifically against the NFC. So it's kind of wacky.
Well, we'll talk, Peter, we'll talk golf in a minute. And the reason why this is law is if I don't get an answer soon, I'm going to sue somebody. So that's law. But it is interesting to know that we're, what, 4 hours away from one of the biggest games the Dolphins have played in 7 years. And my premise is that the game now, because they can't win a wild card because of what the Ravens did last night, and you can check that one out and you'll see that I'm right, today's game is it may be fundamentally irrelevant. I know it's important for momentum and winning streaks and all of that, but I do think, and if anybody knows, please, you know, bring it on, right? Because I do think that if they lose today and beat the Jets, that's what it's all about. I'm not sure of that yet. So we better find that out, right?
Are you saying if they lose to Kansas City today and beat the Jets, they still make the playoffs?
I believe that's correct, and I believe they win the division. And that's what we're going. Well, you check it out.
You could be right. But the thing I want to get, Rick, is you seem to be leaning towards the Chiefs beating the Dolphins today, and you've been dead on a lot of your predictions. You predicted way back after the Dolphins got humiliated by Arizona that they would come back on the road and beat New England, which they did. Am I sensing that you're picking the Chiefs today to beat the Dolphins?
We were co-hosting the show that
day.
Right.
Yes. Remember that? And I was in New England. That was great. Well, no. Look, lawyers, all three of us, good lawyers, whichever ones you want to say, we always keep our options open, right? And so I want to make sure that at least we're going into next week, no matter what, with a chance. And I do think, no matter what, if the Bills beat the Patriots next week and we take care of business next week, we're in regardless of today, and we can check that out. And the back and forth was, what happens if the Patriots win? You know, if the Patriots win today, or lose today, it doesn't matter. It's an NFC game, but that affects common opponents. So we can go back and forth on this, and you know there are a number of people listening right now who didn't even think of what could happen if the Chiefs beat the Dolphins today, because there's nothing in any papers about what happens if it's like you got to go continue to win, you control your own destiny. Yeah, but what happens if you only win one of the two? And I do think it's the first time in a long time where the Dolphins have a shot of losing a late December game and still can get in.
We got to be in the silly season. We're talking football.
We are. So, you know what? Golf, all right, Tiger didn't come back, we're all in trouble. Tiger comes back, we're fine. Big three, we're in trouble if they don't, you know, get off the dime. Big three, if they get off the dime, we're fine. Next.
Rick Haar joins us here, as he always does, for the Golf Business and Law segment here on the Golf Exchange, presented by the Honda Classic. Rick, I do have to ask you a golf question.
Do it.
I'm morally obligated to do that. I don't know if you saw this, but this week, Tim Finchem, the commissioner, came out, sent a five-minute video to all the PGA Tour players and their agents, actually earlier this month, and he asked them to focus on four areas during the current economic slowdown: scheduling, sponsor appreciation, public comments, and charitable involvement. According to a story in the Sports Business Journal, Finchem said in the video, "We're asking every player to add a tournament or two to their historical schedule to assist the tournaments that historically have weak fields. We have a lot of title sponsors this year that are up for renewal. We have to put our best foot forward in terms of presenting our competitions." You also ask them to be more visible in corporate hospitality, communicate that the leaders of tour to the leaders of tour sponsoring companies, and he asked the players to avoid being publicly negative about the tour. I mean, this sounds a little desperate, for lack of a better term. I mean, it's kind of one of those things, Rick, that if Tiger's at a tournament, it's a world of difference. Is he specifically indirectly asking Tiger to increase some of his schedule, or is this a legitimate ask of, you know, all the top, say, 40 players to try and get them involved?
Two parts of that. I know from, knowing Steinberg and IMG, that Tim Finchem won't do a direct, indirect missive or communication to reach Tiger. He'll pick up the phone, call his agent, call Tiger directly. He's that important to the tour. So he might have done both. But I think this is brilliant, and I know we can jump on it by saying that, you know, a memo saying be positive doesn't get you to be positive. But look at all the other leagues. They're laying people off. This doesn't mean that you're not going to lay people off, but he understands that he's pretty lucky. Why? Because you don't have a whole lot of sponsors this year that are in the renewal cycle. Many leagues do, because they're year to year, or they luckily or unluckily happen to come up this year. TV contracts, by the way, guys, the same thing. You know, they're in the middle of their TV cycle. The NFL is in the middle of its $17 billion TV cycle. So you don't have to worry about it, because a couple of years from now, we'll either all run out of money and live in Guam, or, you know, we're turning back around. And so I do think this is one of those things that says this is not to panic. This is just to appeal to sponsors. And if one player is more friendly or does one more deal with a corporate sponsor, you know, this might have worked. By the way, contrast this to a memo that Carolyn Bivens might have sent that says you got to speak English or you're in trouble. It's the same kind of thing, by the way. The bottom line is, you know, appeal to your sponsors. And maybe there's a right way to say it and a wrong way to say it. This may be closer to the right way to say it.
Well, we certainly know that Carolyn Bivens came up about two clubs short on her memo.
Well put.
But if that memo is having any effect on the tour players, given that it's now, 3 days before Christmas, Tiger, if you're listening, I got something I want in my Christmas stocking. There's a little tournament up the road. It's called the Honda Classic.
Yeah, boy.
And if your rehab schedule makes it work. I think the Honda would be a great place to step up and put it in the ground for your first event, finish it up with Doral, and then head on to the Masters and bring home another green jacket.
Well, so. And Peter, you know something else? I know that Tiger may be having trouble making ends meet because, you know, Buick just dropped him, and what's he going to do for transportation? So how about you and I and Rooney agree that we'll even pick him up?
Let's call the Tiger Fund. We'll come up with some money, Rick, and
we'll go pick him up at his new house and bring him all 4 days, and even the pro-am if he wants to play. Tiger, are you listening?
If he's listening, I'll even wash his boat for him, and Lord knows that's got to take you at least a month.
Oh, Mike, yeah. Well, you start in one end in May, and you finish the other end by Christmas. So.
All right, Rick, we got like 20 seconds, but give me your prediction tonight or today for the Dolphins.
Dolphins 21, Chiefs 20, after all that crap.
All right, Rick Haro, the sports professor, as he does every week, joining us here on the Golf Exchange.
Hey, Peter, you're great. Sponsorship's great. Love it. Look forward to next year. Thanks, guys.
Take care, Rick.
All right, Rick Haro, the sports professor, as he always does, joining us here at 8:40 every Sunday, and we appreciate that.